Hey everyone, welcome to the Nexus with DJ Tyrant with me. I think it's going to be a permanent thing. We're still talking things over. With me is Heather.
Yes,
Heather. And we are going to be talking all things BlizzCon because this is a Blizzard news show. If this is your first time here, welcome. This is a Blizzard news show, so obviously we're going to be talking about all things BlizzCon. Today is Sunday, November 3rd. The convention just ended yesterday. We're back home.
Barely.
We're not really unpacked.
No, we still have to do laundry.
We still have a lot of stuff to do, but yeah.
We're home.
Let's just...
We're out of Anaheim. We're here.
Yeah. I'm almost thinking of titling this episode, "They Announced What?" Question mark.
Oh, God, you're right.
Just because...
There was so much.
There was a ton of stuff.
It's almost difficult to keep track.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. But yeah,
okay.
Why don't you jump right into
our notes?
Our notes. You're the one who did our show notes this time.
Notes.
And also a note for our live stream viewers. If you're watching right now on twitch.tv/DJTyrant, we'll be doing a loot video right after.
A loot haul.
Yeah.
Loot
haul. Okay. So you can see that. And those of you catching the podcast, we will also be uploading that to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/DJTyrant. That's you. Okay.
So I guess, yeah, we're talking about all things BlizzCon and our experience with BlizzCon. You got there first. You got there before me. You got there on Tuesday/Wednesday, like early morning. So like I call it -2.
Yeah, -2 is a pretty good one.
You took the train down.
And
I got there like 11:40 at the train station or something.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And you Ubered to the Hilton and crashed.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who did you see? No. We stayed with our friends, Derek and Jessica, at the Hilton, and it was super fun just to see them. Let's see. And then -1 was Wednesday this week, and you went to the BrewCon.
Yeah. BrewCon is a kind of pre-BlizzCon get-together with... it started mostly as Heroes of the Storm community folks and was started by it's Lashes, if you know who she is, which you should know who she is. And a lot of the Heroes of the Storm community members go, and it was a lot of fun as always. And if this is your first time hearing about and you attend BlizzCon, definitely check it out next year.
Yeah, if you're there for Wednesday.
It's the Wednesday before BlizzCon always. And
you went to three pubs.
Yeah, we went to three breweries around the area. They're all really close, like a couple, like maybe 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes at most to drive to any of these places.
Or Uber.
Uber. Bethany is very good about making sure people are being safe and responsible, which is what this is all about. It's all about celebrating everything Blizzard related.
It's to get drunk with your friends at BlizzCon. But yeah, it's not like an epic peace award thing. It's to have fun.
It's to have fun.
Okay, so you went to the Bootleggers first, and then you went to Bottle Logic.
Yeah.
And then Golden Road. He tells me that his favorite was the Bottle Logic because it was geeky themed and very delicious.
Yeah, they have a lot of geeky themed brews there. As part of BlizzCon, they've done a couple special brews. They've done the Thunder Brew.
It's re-released.
Yeah, Thunder Brew. They actually did put that back on tap, so it was available there. I didn't get it, but...
wasn't that released at BlizzCon like a couple years ago?
A couple years ago, yeah.
I think I saw that bottle.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
They actually have some stuff with other game studios as well, which is cool. I think I picked up one of the ones they made for another studio because it was on tap. But also this year, which was brand new. It's not even a beer, but it's going with the trend of White Claws. Was had a seltzer water, pina colada.
Stay hydrated.
A little heavy on the coconut. I was hoping for a little more pineapple flavor, but it was good still. It was very good.
Okay.
And there were a couple people who got some samplers, and I tried some other ones. There was a Snickers one where it felt more like a dessert beer. It was like
sugary.
Very heavy. Very, yeah, very sweet.
I like how you're looking at me like I know these things. I wasn't even there.
But I know. But yeah, that was that. And then World Series came on while we were there, but then we moved to Golden Road, which, if you're familiar with the area, is actually right by Angel Stadium. So it was kind of fun to watch the World Series Game 7 there. And congratulations to the Washington Nationals for winning. Feels slightly less bad that the Dodgers lost.
It was close. It was really close.
It was a very close series.
It was very close. Yeah. Good for them.
But this isn't a baseball podcast, so we'll keep going.
All right, and then day zero happened. Day zero, you started the day with your badge pickup?
Yeah, that was like the first thing I did. I got there around 9:30 and opened at 9. Mm-hmm. It was very easy because they moved badge pickup this year, and especially for media and pro players, and the Portal Pass had a really convenient place to go. It was at the Hilton itself. Mm-hmm. And we were staying at the Hilton, so it made it a little bit easier than before, because you used to have to go down to Hall E at the convention center. And I think it was good that they moved that with the new expanded security measures this year, because then you didn't have to separate out the plaza so that people could still get to Hall E but still maintain that perimeter.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, you're going somewhere with this, and I'm going to get it eventually. Yeah, that's true. And it was really convenient because most of the people, media or Blizzard people, were at the Hilton already. So to go downstairs and just pick it up was super easy. I was like, where are we going? Oh, it's done. Okay.
And as far as I know, normal badge pickup was not too bad.
I never saw a huge line.
There wasn't a huge line. The only complaint I heard was that picking up the statue, at least initially, was like,
did you have to go to the store?
Like 2-3
for
hours.
That?
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Yeah. They didn't hand out the statues at that area.
They should have just done it together.
They should have.
But then that would have required having the storage in the badge area to have all those boxes.
Yeah.
And so I kind of got it.
I understand why they streamlined it that way.
But having to stand the store, we'll talk about the store. We'll talk about the store.
Yeah, we have some thoughts.
There's issues with the store. We're trying to like streamline each day. And there was a lot that we did, so this is gonna be a long episode. Let's see. So after that, you streamed a little bit during the day in the morning.
Yeah, I streamed. On badge pickup day. Sorry, I was still thinking we were on day negative one. Day zero. Yeah.
Day zero.
Which is almost a day one now with the amount of stuff they have. Basically, they opened the plaza, and North Hall was partially open with the store, and they had the trading area outside so people could go and trade, and there were a lot of people. Yeah, and the weather was
nice.
Actually pretty much perfect for
it. It was cold, if anything.
Yeah. It would get cold at night.
I agree.
But yeah, I just walked around and kind of saw a bunch of everything.
Want to watch those streams? Go on your Twitch account.
Yeah, they're on the videos there on the Twitch account. So.
And it was fun.
Check them out.
As I was getting ready, I was actually watching your streams, the pre-recorded streams. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment where you're like, "Oh, I'm just walking around the store, blah blah blah. I'm walking around the trading post, and I forgot to get the selfie stick. We got a selfie stick to record a lot of this stuff this weekend. Forgot to get the selfie stick, and Heather's probably laughing at me right now." And I wasn't laughing. I was yelling at you at my phone saying, "You forgot the stick." Like,
yeah.
We researched. I'm so mad.
We have put this in notes, but I wanted to mention this really quick just because I was kind of happy to see it. There was this company, and I can't remember the name because we put it in the notes. They bought out the Figure Prints people.
Oh, it was like Squid or something.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
And they had a couple representatives there, so I got to talk with them about it and everything they're doing to update the armor sets list and the weapon set list. And they're adding a couple like new things where you can get prints of either mounts or your pets as well. And you can get the regular size figure prints, which are a couple of, like four inches tall, I think. And then
I'd say about 4 to 5.
4 to 5. Well, and then there's a bigger one too as well. And then you can do a bust one as well, which is like shoulders up.
It's really cute how they have it, because my brother got one years ago, and it's a nice memorabilia of your character in WoW, that you can customize, and it's 3D printed, and it's a lot better ink now than it was really faded. And you can have like a little personal keepsake.
Yeah, it looks super nice. And yeah, looked through the whole store and kind of saw everything there. And there was a blank space, which we eventually saw filled after certain announcements.
Oh, so good. We'll get there. I'm so excited. I can't find the company. It began with the letter S. But yeah, it's on your stream, and you talk about it right away, and you actually introduce yourself. So they were really cool. And it was nice to see them coming back, because it's been a long time. Yeah. And we're all adults now. They're older, and we have jobs, and we can afford things.
Yeah.
That's what I tell myself.
For sure. And then
There. Yeah, I got there like a 5. The freeway was very long and slow. We picked up my badge really quickly at the Hilton. No problems there. And then after, we realized we got early access as media to the Dark Moon Fair, which was is my favorite place at the con. And so we walked in, we looked around, saw the merch, and then afterwards we're like, we bought stuff, and then we're like, we could probably record this because it was not that busy. It was only available for portal passes and media.
And media, yeah.
So we actually took out the selfie stick that we had on us and started filming with your phone, and it was awesome. There, it's on YouTube, and it's got some good views on it. And we just walked through each section, the publisher's row, the caricature faces that you can get done, the time treasure box thing that kept selling out, and no one.
I wanted to get it, but sorry, just wasn't able to.
I'm okay with you not getting it. Let's see, and then we had the shop where you could buy the plushies and toys, basically. Pin trading, badge trading, done by Blizzard, not the tables, and then the pin buying area, which we were wanting to go, but then the pins we wanted were already sold out.
Yeah, unfortunately, the pins I wanted were the Heroes 8-bit ones, and they limited those to 500.
Yeah, that was pretty upsetting.
Yeah.
And so we went up there, they're like, do you have any? They're like, we sold out for the day, and it's like, I'm not going to come here. Yeah. We should, I will look on eBay. I'm not looking at eBay.
No, we'll look in a few months.
But yeah, if you want to see the Dark Moon Fair, we actually walked through it, and it was pretty empty. The tree and the trees and the eyeball, like, what is that thing that you walk through?
The Dark Moon Fair banner kind of thing.
Beautiful, a great spot for cosplay pictures. We got a few pictures of ourselves there. Just a really cool atmospheric place. And we put, instead of us talking and arguing about camera angles, we put music of Taverns on it. So yeah, it's actually a lot more enjoyable to watch versus us talking.
Yeah. Blubbering. No, I think it was good.
Yeah.
And I was also, just to self-pat on myself on the back, I guess, a little bit. It blew up a little bit. And I was pretty happy to see that do well. So
I think especially because it was right before opening ceremonies and people want to see BlizzCon. And the Dark Moon Fair, you really have to be there to really get the full atmosphere. And the video we did was pretty nice. I'm pretty proud of it, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's sparkly lights. So.
It is.
Yeah, it's very sparkly. Let's see. And then after that was your big meetup.
Yeah. That was, where was it? Calm Before the Storm at the Hilton at 10 o'clock. So people were able to get some drinks in them. And yeah, that was my little table badge. Yeah, yeah.
You took it.
Chris made me take it.
Oh, did he?
Oh, no. Talison and Evitel were still there when we left.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was intense.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I got sat down next to Talison and Evitel, basically.
Well, yeah, last year they divided up the art gallery, the vendors, and the meet and greets into three separate, and then the party. So like four separate spots in the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
This year it was all together. So you walk in, and I took a few pictures, haven't posted. Huge art gallery, tons of stuff, gorgeous. You could spend like an hour just looking at everything.
Yeah.
And then there was the vendors of like, mom and pop shops.
They were kind of in the center, yeah.
And then there was a huge line for the bar and the little dance floor with the prize wheel, which I just kept seeing go off all the time. And then at the very back was the meet and greets.
Yeah. We were a little hidden. But
just a little bit.
But
it was a nice surprise.
That line for Talison and Evitel was ginormous.
If you weren't there, I'd be there.
It's crazy how much they've grown. And like, I remember 2 years ago being able to just kind of walk up and wait maybe 5 minutes to meet them. And now it's hours.
Like security, yeah.
Now it's hours to get to
them. And apparently, they were there at 7, and they were there past almost 11.
They were still there when I left.
And they were originally at the beginning of the meet and greet, and they kept moving them further down the tables because they wanted to get new people in there and not have mobs of people.
Yeah.
And there was some drama with the lines, apparently, because every time they moved them, people got lost their spots or took cut.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Thomas and Vital were super great, generous, kind, patient, and impressive.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, I'm tired, guys. Especially like if I was pregnant, oh man, I'd be like, I'm out. No, they were great.
Yeah, thanks to everyone who stopped by. It was a lot of fun to see some people.
Yeah.
And
saw friends.
Those of you that remembered me from last year, like, that was so awesome to hear. And I got to meet in person. Kath is rad. She's a Warcraft streamer, and I've kind of been hanging out in her stream. And I found out about her from, she joined Vipy's stream team, Saga.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was cool to meet her in person. She complimented my hair. So of course I was happy about that.
The glorious blue hair.
My gosh. She was surprised I did it myself.
I know.
I think a lot of people have been surprised by that.
Everyone's like, I love your hair. And I'm like, yeah, I did when it was dyed blue, not bleached.
Yeah.
I told them that little shock of a story. Bleach your own hair by yourself. Anyways, it survived. It looks good.
Please don't kill me, Alex.
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, please. Okay. Calm for the storm. Oh, buying stuff. We're going to go over that in the hall. But I spent a good amount of money at the vendors there for some jewelry pieces, keychains. I have to grab those. I need to go get those. I might be getting a customized mug from one of the vendors. And even a ladies of BlizzCon ribbon, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And so it was nice to do some shopping for pretty stuff before the convention. Because I knew I wasn't, you know, ready to go really big on spending, so it was a nice warm up of purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I think
that's day zero.
We were tired.
We're trying to contain quote unquote day one.
No, it's day zero. Don't mess up my numbers. Let's see. So day one of BlizzCon was Friday. And what did we do in the morning, Jimmy?
We looked at the line for Starbucks in the Hilton. We're like, yeah, we're not doing that. we went to the Coffee Bean. If you listened to our previous pre-BlizzCon episode, we did talk about the Coffee Bean kind of being the hidden gem away from everything. Lines are always pretty short there.
I think it's a Springfield Inn or hotel.
Yeah,
it's
by Springfield Inn.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went there. Lines were short. We streamed from there, talking about our kind of last minute predictions on everything before the show. Mm-hmm. Someone thought they were mobile ordering and they didn't.
So my strategy was I need to do my makeup, and our friends were still sleeping and I didn't want to wake them up and be obnoxious, and I wanted to get Coffee Bean especially. So I was like, hey, Jimmy, let's go to Coffee Bean and stream while I get ready. And he's like, okay, sure. So we get there and we want coffee, and I tried to mobile order, but I needed to add more funds to get both our drinks, so it wasn't going through. So there was no one in line. So I'm like, Jimmy, you know what? Just go get the drinks. Just go get them. I trust you. I'm like laying out all my stuff. And you come back and you're like, I bought your drink. Where's mine? And I'm like, did you order it? No. So you had to go back in line. There was no line.
Yeah.
And then we got our drinks and just sat and talked. It was nice.
And I looked at the VOD of that, and we talked for over an hour sitting there.
It's called doing makeup.
I know.
No, it's good. It was fun.
Then we walked over. Got inside and...
Inside what, Jimmy?
Inside BlizzCon.
There we go.
BlizzCon 2019 was finally here. We got around 9:30, I want to say.
Probably, yeah.
We kind of wanted to try and see if we could get into the main hall.
Nope, we skipped something.
I know, we're getting there.
We didn't even go to main hall yet.
I know.
Okay.
But I said we were trying to get in the main hall. But then we were distracted because we got into Hall D, which was the Overwatch hall, and we turned the corner and there's this giant Lego wall, and we're like, what is that? So we went and checked it out, and we saw that it was a mural mosaic,
and they had quadrants of these little squares like this big of single Lego pieces.
It was 6x6 or 10x10.
You talked to the guy. I don't know. The numbers.
Never mind. I don't know. It was like I think it was 8x8.
8x8 square. I think
yeah.
it was smaller than that. I think it was more.
The 9x9?
Maybe.
Okay.
And so
anyways, yeah.
they were color-coded, like paint
and
by number.
And you had all the 1x1 pieces to plug into there.
And so they had bins of each color type, like blues, greens, light greens, light blue. And then you would each get and put them on top of your little Lego card. And then once you matched them all, they would check it. And then you would go to the wall. And then there'd be people with like these soft hammers. And there was numbers in the back of each card. And then on the grid mural. And they would hammer it into spot.
And there was 4,600 of those squares, I think, was about it.
That was a lot.
And I think I did the math. I was like, let's do the math. I was talking with one of the guys there. And I think it was 160,000 individual Lego pieces. Mm-hmm.
And it was done the next day.
By 3:30.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they had like a little like ceremony with, I think, Jeff Kaplan or something to put in the last piece.
Oh, at 5 o'clock. It's probably on the virtual ticket.
Yeah, it might be.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's gorgeous.
It was super cool. So we'll post pictures of that too on our social media.
So I was like, I had coffee. I get to do some arts and crafts before BlizzCon. This is perfect. Mm-hmm. So it was really fun. Let's see.
Then we kind of rushed our way over to the Mythic stage.
We couldn't get a seat. We tried. And then
I will say we were able to get in even though it was capped.
Oh, because we're media. Yes, thank you.
But even then, we still couldn't find a seat, which was, it was fine. I understand that people need to be there early.
Well, we did something different, too.
Yeah.
Instead of finding a seat, we're like, well, we heard about the Blizzard Arcade, and we're kind of wondering what that was. And we saw a big sign where if we went downstairs.
Oh, that's true.
We're like, well, there's the Blizzard Arcade. Let's go check it out. We have an hour to kill before opening ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to go down there, and it was gorgeous. Like, super nice. It's a new addition to BlizzCon this year. We also filmed, and since it was empty, we filmed a whole walkthrough of it, looking at each of the display cases of really cool memorabilia of all the classic Blizzard games, and artwork, especially each gaming booth. And section, Raynor's bar was there?
Joy Ray's bar.
The Slard Cafe for Diablo was there. So it was like great for cosplayers especially. Mm-hmm. And then there was huge walls of art.
Yeah.
If you want to see it, I highly recommend it. It was very cool themed, very well lit, very atmospheric. We did a video on it. Definitely check it out on YouTube. Did not do as well. But I feel like, I don't know why. Maybe because people don't know
YouTube
about
algorithm
it.
Is weird. Yeah. Who knows?
And people didn't know to really go there. A lot of our friends said, like, oh, that was a thing we forgot to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of fun to go see it.
Yeah. And then
we got upstairs. And
we got upstairs.
We walked across the entire convention to get a seat.
Yeah.
And we finally found one in the arena.
Yeah. And we checked the WoW stage and we checked, Hearthstone stage as well. And they were all pretty full.
People were standing.
And even the Overwatch stage.
That was full.
We had to find
two spots.
We're like, all right, let's just go to the arena. So we went to the arena. It wasn't completely full, but it was definitely filling up. So I definitely felt like the hype was much higher this year than previous years, I feel like. People were like, really like, okay, what is Blizzard announcing?
Well, it's like, why are we having a BlizzCon if they have nothing to announce at this point?
Yeah.
Last year was last year. It's in the past.
What did they announce?
Well, do we want to go over our initial reactions?
Because
we haven't researched a lot of these because we've been busy doing a lot of different stuff.
That's the hard part about being at the show is you can't see all the panels.
And you can't consume it all, especially if you're media, because we had a lot of stuff to do during the day, which we were shocked. We're like, oh, it's late. We haven't gone to like a single thing yet. But we do have our initial reactions. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the big one, which was Diablo 4. They finally announced.
It's finally here.
It's here. Well, sort of. Announced.
Blizzard has acknowledged its existence.
Yes. It is announced. We have gorgeous artwork. Your first reaction, and this is where my notes came in, and you can expand upon it. Returning to Diablo roots.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, from the gameplay trailer and from the cinematic itself, it was very dark and brooding and brutal.
Goodness.
I feel like Diablo 3 kind of strayed from that a bit, but Yeah, Diablo 4 is very, very brutal and
dark.
I had heard from some of the devs that trailer was toned down.
What?
Like, it was much more intense before.
Good Lord. And they were like, yeah, running at the chance to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so me, I was saying it was dark, and I like some dark, but I think the most was how pretty the darkness was. Like, mm-hmm, this is gory. There is blood. There's like translucent skin and blood's pouring out and sweat and everything, and it's awful. But damn, it was pretty.
It really was
so pretty. And I'm like looking at it and I'm just like, this is so nice. I'm just ignoring the gruesomeness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see. Moving on to, you're looking up some stuff here.
Yeah, really quickly. I mean, there definitely was, like, I think it was Duriel who showed up, who's the one who summoned Lilith.
No.
Okay, don't worry about it then.
Yeah, no, you're wrong on that one. Yeah, it was the dude, the scholar that summoned her. Because the dude told her, say the things, you know it's true, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I loved that birthing scene. Oh, that was so creepy.
It was pretty beautiful.
Oh, so gross. Okay, so then we moved on to Diablo 4. We go now to World of Warcraft, new expansion, The Shadowlands. They announced it publicly because we never heard of it before.
I'll take I'll steal Taliesin's line about, all we knew. All that was correct was the name.
Yeah.
All the other leaks were wrong.
Exactly.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
But holy crap, that cinematic, like, took it to another level. Yeah. I mean,
I agree.
We've all been wondering what the Sylvanas storyline was going to be, and boy, we got an answer.
So did we
get an answer or not? So holy crap.
I think both our jaws were dropped.
Okay, I will tell you, we're going to spoil a little bit of this if you haven't seen the trailer.
Oh, you have to see it. Please, go watch it.
Go watch it. Pause the podcast right now if you haven't seen it. But I was, we're gonna watch it after this, I think.
Good, I want to.
But she grabbed the helm.
They
intentionally, like, tried to juke us out, though.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my god, she's going to be the Lich Queen. Become the next Lich Queen. And then she, like, moved her hands around it to grip it.
Yep.
And that's when I realized, oh my goodness, she is going to destroy it.
Yep.
And I literally screamed no.
Yeah.
And had my face in my hands just,
like
absolutely terrified.
Yeah.
And she did it.
Yeah. And I read on a Facebook post that someone said that Blizzard Summer and some of the interviews or something confirmed the Scourge will be uncontrolled at this point. So I'm, like, even more panicked on that, which is kind of crazy.
It sounds like that might be a pre-patch event, too.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. I'm excited. I love Sylvanas, and I was with a small number of people that really wanted her to do more than just be this horrible, evil person. There had to be a reason, because she's too Sylvanas. I don't know what word to describe
too her. Good of a character to kind of go out that way.
Exactly. For me, the whole time, I was just screaming, oh no, she didn't. In my head, like, oh no, she didn't just attack him. Oh no, she just took off the helmet. Oh no, she just ripped it apart like the Hulk. And it was great. It was so good. I'm excited.
It was fantastic. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the level squish. And I mean, they answered this more in the Q&A, but definitely the more streamlined leveling will be good. I'm excited for that.
You can tell the full stories of each expansion.
Yeah, you get to choose your expansion that you want to level through, which I think is really great.
Draenor, right?
I will. I still need to do Pathfinder for Draenor.
No, you don't need to.
Yes, I do.
It's perfectly fine. I'm losing my voice, apparently.
Okay, that's okay. That's a thing. But yeah, World of Warcraft Shadowlands looks fantastic, and those of us still playing retail, I think, are really excited for it. And I think it has some good system changes to help bring some people back.
Yeah. I've never left, so I'm good.
Yeah. They didn't really announce too much for Classic. They were kind of just like, we're happy where it is right now and the release content pattern. And
they did
mention, it's definitely too early, I think, to announce if they're doing Burning Crusade? I'd say probably,
well,
probably a year. That was year in
the
and question. Half now.
That was in the Q&A.
Oh, yeah.
They said that they were looking into it. They said they're still trying to ride the wave of the classic.
Yeah.
And they'll discuss it more because someone asked them that exact question.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But classic is classic. And you wanted to grind, so let yourself grind.
Yeah.
That sounded completely inappropriate. Next one. Hearthstone.
Yeah, Hearthstone. They announced the new dragon expansion. I don't even remember the name of it. I don't play enough Hearthstone to really...
Dragons.
Not necessarily care is the right word, but it's just, it's low on my priority list. It didn't
pique your interest.
Yeah, Hearthstone has kind of not piqued my interest a whole lot lately, but...
Well, you were excited because it was auto chess.
Well, yeah, they announced a whole brand new game mode called Battlegrounds, and it's their Blizzard spin on the auto chess genre.
That you're digging right now.
That I really dig right now. Dota with No Lords is really good. The, having Blizzard's own spin on it is obviously going to be interest me.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think just from the release trailer? What were your thoughts before that point?
I couldn't understand anything of the lyrics. Like the last expansion, I remember I understanding the lyrics. I'm like, that's really funny. I love that song. And here I'm just like, dragons? Okay. I didn't understand the auto chess thing at all because I don't remember who even talked about it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I was unimpressed. I'm not a big Hearthstone fan, and that's fine. Looked cool, but the auto chess, I'm now starting to open my eyes a bit more to it. We'll talk about that later because we actually did play Hearthstone later on at the convention, which is really cool. Next one, Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, so they announced their big announcement pre-BlizzCon the week before.
Yes.
Deathwing is coming, and then the other big thing was all heroes are free to play until November 11th. I feel like that's a really short window.
It is, and that's what I thought in my head, too.
I thought they would do it till like the end of 2019 or something like that.
I'm watching the virtual ticket till November 11th. I don't have time.
I know. I know.
Like,
but yeah.
At first, I thought it was like free, like legit free. Go buy it, like go get the skins. And then I was like, wait, no, trial free.
I know that the dev team would like that for that to be the case.
Well, they talked about it in their Q&A too. Mm-hmm. We thought about it, but there's also some issues of the back. Skins and stuff. It's complicated. Moving on to StarCraft 2.
They announced that DeepMind AI was going to be available at the show floor to the challenge players. They had a master's level AI and a diamond level AI.
Oh, that, yes.
I wanted to get around to playing it, but I never got to. I would love to see them like bring it into the game proper somehow, if that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what's powering the stuff behind DeepMind, but that was Intel, kind of cool experience. Yeah, it's Google.
Yeah,
that's doing the background or backbone of it. And then Arcturus Minx for co-op commanders. I know there's a lot of people who love the co-op commanders mode, and I've played a bit of it. And it's really good. Limited stuff coming to StarCraft 2. I kind of hope for some more single player stuff, but I don't think Nova missions hold well enough for them to keep up with that.
I was just thinking the whole what's that, Tychus, where he says, "Hey, it's about time." I was like, "It's about time they got the DeepMind in." I remember that being several BlizzCons ago, and people were losing, you and Alex were losing their minds about it, and I was like, "Cool, computer AI."
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh good, they finished it, like they finished their project. And it sucks because it was in the far back corner of the Blizzard Arcade, and I actually filmed that section of our video, and it didn't look big deal enough at all. So I was like, that is a misfortune, because that's something I've been working on for years. Let's see, next one's
another big one.
Did I skip one? Oh, the last but not least, Overwatch 2.
Yeah. Overwatch 2 got announced, even though that was leaked. Oh, Jeff Kaplan made fun of the leaks, which was kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, he was wearing black the whole time to mourn the leak of it, basically.
Oh, yeah. He said he was going off script, and he was glad the internet could tell him what he was supposed to say about Overwatch 2, which was a fun way to poke at it.
You have to, especially with his sense of humor. So your initial reaction was... Are they really going to kill off
Are they really going to kill off Winston?
Is this seriously going to happen?
I'm like, no way they do that to start off the Overwatch 2 storyline. Like, that's crazy. But I'm glad they're bringing Overwatch back together, and this Omnic Crisis looks pretty intense.
Yeah. For me, the whole time, I think halfway through the video, before even Winston was, like, at risk, I just sat there, and I'm like, why are we crying? Legit, like, we had seen the Diablo 4, we saw the World of Warcraft thing. Why am I crying? An Overwatch trailer nonstop. And, they saved Winston, they came in, people worked together, and I'm still crying.
Yeah.
I don't understand what they did.
Overwatch does such a good job at pulling at your emotions, and it's, like, about teamwork and coming back from adversity and all this stuff, and it's just, it's heartwarming.
Oh, it was awful. Fantastic game. We'll talk about it later, because it's one of our highlights, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see. And then, I think that, we were dying for food. We were so hungry.
Yeah, we got food.
No, we didn't.
Oh, that's right, we didn't.
We were going to get food in the media room, but then the line was really, really long. And then we found out there was a Heroes Q&A for Heroes of the Storm.
Mm-hmm. So we went in that, and
it was a very small Q&A.
Apparently, we're the only ones who got a recording of it. Yes. So if you do want to see that, youtube.com/DJTyrant. We got to ask some questions about the future of Heroes. And
well, and talking about currently, like, the excitement about Deathwing.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of a unique hero in that he's super large, very man-spready.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulties of having such a large character in the maps, because they even said, like, having such a big hitbox, he can only move so much, but we want him to seem big and menacing because it is the Deathwing.
And he does have the same hitbox as Asmodan Stitches.
Mm-hmm. Just looks
so big. But the model just looks absolutely ginormous.
Yeah.
Vipey asked a bunch of really good, like, technical questions, because he has this kind of really unique mechanic where he is unstoppable as a trait. Mm-hmm. So basically no stuns or slows work on him, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. But he's an epic hero in this case. Let's see.
Then we had lunch.
Yes, thank goodness for lunch. And we spent a lot of time during our lunch break to just upload everything. Because we had the
Blizzard Arcade.
We had the arcade. We had the Heroes Q&A to upload. So it was nice to have the media room to have access to a direct Wi-Fi versus the T-Mobile Wi-Fi at BlizzCon, which was very nice. So thank you, T-Mobile, for giving us free Wi-Fi. Sponsor, no. And then afterwards, we actually had our Diablo 4
Q&A.
Yeah, that was fun.
Which, obviously, was pretty full with a lot of community creator, Diablo community folks. And that was a really interesting interview. It was a group interview with a lot of the community folks. And I was just happy I was able to ask about cross-platform potentially. Because they are announcing it for consoles from the get-go, as well as PC. They said no plans currently, but they're kind of, they interested. Would like to do it, definitely. Yeah.
They're interested in getting all their platforms to play with their friends.
Yeah.
But they really couldn't say much because that depends with other conversations.
And with all the console manufacturers finally,
hopefully,
being friendly enough to, friendly with each other.
Yeah.
We could see that in the future.
And then I came up with two questions. We each asked one. My question was, the Diablo 3 had the Treasure Goblin and a lot of silliness in the game. And they even said Diablo 4 is very dark and gritty. I asked, are there going to be Treasure Goblins in this game? And even secret levels. They didn't respond to the secret levels question, but they did talk about the Treasure Goblin. And they're like, yeah, he's actually in the demo. And he's very focused on his treasure and his bag. He actually is so focused on his bag of stuff that he ignores you until you almost hit him. And then Isabella, was it the woman? Or I forget her name.
Tiffany.
How did I get Isabella? Tiffany said that actually she calls the goblin Gary. So I think it's
we're trying to make that a thing now.
I think it's a Blizzard employee said the Treasure Goblin's name Gary. Is Gary, and they referred to him as Gary multiple times.
Yeah,
I think his name is Gary, G-A-R-Y, and I think that should stick. Yeah,
it should stick
100%. So you're welcome, Internet, and. And then the third question you asked was the same idea that they talked about having the customization level for your character be a lot higher mm-hmm. than the previous games, you know, having actual options of hair and skin color and tattoos on the face and stuff.
Yeah, and I asked about if it would be like a permanent thing from the get-go, like most kind of RPGs are, mm-hmm. Or something like World of Warcraft has, where you can go to the barbershop and completely change up your look. And they actually said they like hadn't thought of that, so they yeah. will think about it.
I was like, please do.
Yeah. So hopefully they will do that, but we'll see.
I hope so. And I think that was probably the biggest shock to me was how early the stages are for Diablo 4 are.
Yeah.
It's not close.
I would guess 2022 if I had to pin down a year.
I would say we're lucky if we get a year announcement next year.
Yeah.
Because even like Immortal, we got another game. We still don't have a release date. It's been mm-hmm. a year. And that's a mobile game. So I was sad to see how a lot of stuff wasn't nailed down yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they were very hard working on getting the playable demo, which is great. We'll talk about it more. But the Q&A left us wanting more and a little nervous on that one. But it was yeah. a good interview.
But yeah, just from everything we've seen and played for Diablo 4, it looks like it's in the right direction.
Yeah. And what was it? That was a long Q&A. That was 45 plus minutes, I think.
It was almost an hour.
It was an hour. Yeah. We upload, and then we had to go to dinner. And then we upload the entire thing.
Dinner and uploading things.
You actually had to get your computer for that one,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was getting tired of it not working
yeah.
from my phone.
The new iPhone.
And then fancy. We actually talked with J-Hal for a bit, and that was kind of fun.
We learned a lot.
Thank yeah, you, we Josh. Learned a lot about
the YouTube
stuff. The YouTube game.
Yes.
Yeah.
The hustle. So that was actually really nice to have like that collaborative. Mm-hmm. And that's yeah. the cool part of, you know, being in a meeting room. You actually can have the casual conversations like, what do you do differently? What mm-hmm. equipment do you use? I saw some content creators that actually had really cool layouts. Like Hazelnutty had her iPad and the pen, the Apple
yeah,
pen.
It's very interesting to see like what everyone's workflow is, because yeah. everyone does things a little bit different.
And then the big rigs are like monsters yeah. with the cameras and yeah. the backpacks. And so it was kind of cool to see like all the different techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely made like a lot of mental notes. Let's see.
That was kind of it. And then I went to the BlizzCon Blizzard community mixer.
You left me.
I left you.
Sure.
Yep. I was a big old meanie and left her.
I know. I went to bed.
But this was at the House of Blues. It was there last year and it was really nice. Like, it's a good venue to hang out and see people. And since it is kind of the big Blizzard party, a lot of people are there. Like, a lot of
I don't know why you're so nervous famous to sell people. This.
Because I don't know, because I almost feel like I'm small fry compared to everyone else there.
Okay. Yeah, it was a lot of big name
yeah,
people.
Yeah, a lot of big name people. And like the first people I saw come in when I got in was the voice actresses for Symmetra and Sombra. And it wasn't just them. They were there in cosplay with the Halloween skins for both Sombra and Symmetra. So that was really cool. The dragon Symmetra and the zombie bride, or not zombie bride, zombie bride kind of, yeah,
creepy looking thing
for Sombra. So that was really cool. They were super sweet. Asked to take a picture with them, and they were very kind to let me do that. Probably the biggest name I talked to was Matt Mercer. And oh my gosh, I felt so bad for Heather. I'm like, can we make a video? I said, Matt, can we make a video apologizing for Heather not being here? And we did. It was super fun.
It was funny because I wake up and it's like 1 o'clock and I get a text message from you. It's a video clip. And I'm like, I can't really listen to it because everyone's sleeping. And I listened to it in the morning and his handler is like yelling, Heather, why is your boyfriend here? You gotta keep him in check, blah, blah. And then it's like, okay, now you and Matt can talk. So it's like you were getting chewed out for me not being there. Uh-huh. It's kind of rewarding to you know, soothe that sting that it was to not yeah. be there. Because I'm the D&D Critical Role fan.
You are.
Yes.
I don't watch nearly as much Critical Role as I would like to.
But we've met him once or twice at the voice actor signing.
Yeah.
So I'm not super, I want to meet him one day. I've met him before. He's a very nice guy. And good for you.
Yeah, happy but I have you. To say he is one of the nicest people, like, as far as, like, famous people that I've met.
Well, he's a nerd.
Because he took the time out to talk with me. There was a guy in front of me who talked to him. He probably talked to him for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, he doesn't say no.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a problem at times, but...
in certain situations.
I mean, in that situation, it was really cool to experience that. And
yeah.
Talk about D&D and stuff. And
I love that he's a nerd. Stuff. Like, yeah. The guy went to AX and cosplayed, too, back in the day. Uh-huh. Like, he's one of us.
Yep.
So,
day one.
And then, did you want to talk about the Inside Gaming?
Oh, yeah. I met Lawrence from Inside Gaming Daily, which is a Rooster Teeth channel, and they do, like, really funny news stories on gaming stuff, and obviously with all the Blizzard stuff going on lately, they've had a few episodes of those, and it was cool to meet him in person and be like, hey, I come home from work and watch your stuff, and I really like it, so I want to say thank you. And that
that's nice.
So it was cool to do that.
There we go. Okay.
And then I got a Coke, because Coke sponsored a whole bunch of stuff. It was this little mini glass bottle with Overwatch characters on it.
It was cute. Yeah, you showed it to me. I'm like, this is adorable. We gave it to our friend for hosting us. It was nice. Okay, day two, Saturday. You were exhausted because you came home, I think, like at 1:30, 2
o'clock. It was like 1:32. Yeah.
So I woke up early. I got coffee at Coffee Bean, did my makeup there by myself. And then I walked over to the hall or the convention center and realized that the WoW voice actor panel was happening. And multiple years, I've missed that panel because I want to see me some Laura Bailey. Like, Matt Mercer, Laura Bailey, it's like right up there for me. And I've yet to meet her. So I'm like, I'm going to make this panel. I rush over there and I get like front row seats because the media section's the best thing ever. And she's not there. But yeah. I was able to save you a seat. And you came maybe like half an hour later or so.
Yeah.
Stand coffee. And we watched the voice actor panel for World of Warcraft. It was Anduin, Sylvanas. I don't know their first names because I'm a terrible fan. Sarafang.
Sarafang.
Sarafang was there.
And then Zappy Boy. I don't know.
No?
The thing is, I don't know. Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. 100%.
Check my phone.
The troll that's with Sarafang.
Yes, I know who Zappy Boy is.
Okay. But yes, the big guy.
He wasn't there.
The big white guy.
No, he wasn't there. You're confusing that with something else.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because to get to the meat of this and why I'm saying this is they had a very special treat for us at the end where they reenacted two of the cinematics. Old Soldier, I think it was. No, not Old Soldier. Sorry.
Lost Hope.
Lost Hope, which was the Anduin and Sarafang cinematic they released last BlizzCon. That was super cool. And then... The latest cinematic with the Sylvanas Sarafang end of the Fourth War cinematic.
Yes.
And the reason I say Zappy Boy is because it was Thrall and Zappy Boy that walked up with him.
No. 100%. Okay. I literally have a photo.
Yeah, that guy. Who is he?
He's one of the directors for voice actors.
Well, then he played Zappy Boy's line.
Yes, he did.
There you go.
You're wrong.
I'm right.
Yes, no, you're wrong.
Oh, I'm technically wrong.
Right. So there were two. There was these are the creative writers. I forget their names. Christy Golding and then the dude next to her. And then he's one of the voice actor directors that works with the chick that runs the gigs.
Okay.
And so there was only
three. So there were only three voice actors.
Okay.
I will say a special shout out to Taryn Gregory filling in for Chris Metzen as Thrall. He did an excellent job.
Oh.
Those were some big shoes to fill, but excellent job. And make sure to check that out, youtube.com/GGTyrant. We have those videos up for you.
The Reckoning clip, we're heartbroken because we got a telemarketer call right in the beginning of it.
Yeah.
But we got the ending where Sylvanas loses, basically. So we're good there.
Yeah.
But really go check them out. They're amazing. And it's one of those things where you don't really get to see that unless you go to these voice acting panels. And they even said, too, this is the first time that they're actually trying to do a full-on skit replay of it, and it was so cool to see these voice actors act, because you know they can act. It's like Anduin like opened the door, he like had some keys, he could pretend to open a door. They actually lifted the voice actor Sarafang,
yeah,
and carried him out, and like Christy Golding and the voice actor director, I forget her name, it's gonna come to me later, were like tapping the staffs as they walked by. It was so good, so good. So I was super happy I made it the 1 year. Hopefully next year. Just gotta wake up early on that Saturday.
I guess so.
After that, we actually stayed in our seats because they were that good for the D4 systems panel.
Yeah, systems panel was really cool. The big takeaway for me was really diving into the rune words. If you're not familiar with those, basically they're items you can acquire through playing through the game. And then you combine these two runes to attach to, I think, either weapon or armor. And it gives you a pretty interesting buff. And then you can combine these to kind of fit your playstyle a bit more. So you use these condition runes, which obviously require something to happen for it to take effect. Just for example, the one of the runes is every 3 seconds without moving, activate the next socketed rune. So you literally just are able to pull off the effect rune that much quickly, more quickly. And then, the other one, when active, gain a random shrine effect for 7 seconds. Those are just examples. There are going to be a ton of these in game to combine and play with.
That'll fit glyphing your style. Your character's weapon?
Similar. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. They're coming back.
They're coming back.
Some more customization.
A little bit differently than
Don't close before. Those windows. I want to see the slides that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Because it was really funny. We're watching this panel, and I don't know a lot of the details of Diablo. I went through the storyline. I'm happy. Scroll down a second. And I actually Instagrammed this clip. And it's the... I jokingly said how it's you feel really nerdy when you are excited about flowcharts.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had a whole arrow flowchart of the different type of weapons, legendary, rare, mythic. And I'm just like, as a nerd, I love that they use flowcharts mm-hmm. in Word.
Oh, yeah.
In PowerPoint. And then in a video game.
Yeah. So mythic's a brand new rarity for items. And it'll be interesting to see how they really implement this, because it's going to be... you can only have one mythic item equipped on your character at once.
No, equipped, but obviously not like in equipped.
Yeah. Yeah,
that makes sense.
It'll be like legendaries yeah. were in Legion, yeah. similarly, where you can only have one or two mm-hmm. on at once.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and obviously they're going to be really powerful, really affect your playstyle, and they're going to have 4 or 5 different powers to it.
Where's the one with the cartoon? Because the female that was talking. I don't want to screw up her name either, but she was talking about the play styles of Diablo being a little bit different. Can you go down a bit? It was, oops, sorry. I want to read the text.
Which one?
I don't know. Stop moving it. Stop moving the text. Stay there. Go down here. She actually did these cute little comic strips talking about the play styles and how mm-hmm. D4 is going to be where if you want to team up with a clan or with a guild, you can. And there's perks for it. If you want to play it by yourself, a la me, then you could totally do that as well. And then if you do join a clan, you can always craft for it and kind of mm-hmm. give your character a purpose. I like that because I love the idea of joining a group of people, but it's also really hard. And so I really loved her cute little characters talking yeah. and explaining that.
Because no,
I
was like, it made cool. it
relatable. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the little cute cats that she drew on her comics were like amazing. So yeah, Angela Del Priore was great.
She's a lead UI designer for Diablo 4.
Let's see. So that was a fun panel to actually sit through. I was surprised we geeked out about it.
Yeah, we really were able to geek out. I think we dipped after the Q&A, about the Q&A.
We got lunch.
Yeah, if we went and got lunch. Yeah.
That meeting room was the best thing ever. It really is for the food. And the food was, that lunch was so good.
Mac it was and cheese. Pulled pork, mac pulled and pork, cheese.
Corn. Oh, I miss it. I missed it. Okay. Sorry.
The food trucks are really good, though.
You have to wait outside for a food truck. That's a downside yeah. of a food truck. Okay. After that, we went back to Mythic Hall for the WoW Q&A. And that was like a highlight for the con for sure.
It pretty much always is.
I didn't go to them.
I went last year.
I know.
And Metzen showed up.
I'm a little jealous.
And it was pretty darn cool.
Very cool. Oh, he was a ham.
Oh, he totally hammed up. He's like, hey, when is a certain former war chief going to come back?
And he already filmed that.
Oh, yeah.
The voice actors panel, they actually showed some clips of him filming. And I'm like, you already filmed your lines for this expansion, but you're just going to pretend that you're not in it. Let's see. So, first of all, Talis and Inevertal as hosts were amazing.
I have a feeling they're going to have them do it again if they're willing to. The only problem is a little baby is coming along for them.
They have a baby now.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Coming.
That'll be exciting, though.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can. But, yeah, to have their banter back and forth, it was really funny. And it was nice because they were limited. They weren't limited in questions, but they streamlined the questions to be questions that could be answered in this panel. Because a lot of kids would be like, fix druids, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
they've
blah.
Always, they fixed the Q&A panel for a while, 3 or 4 years ago, I want to say, when they, all the questions are pre-screened now. That wasn't a change this year, contrary to popular belief online.
No.
Yeah, this has worked similarly for the past few years.
Because then it gives you a chance to have really good questions answered and explained that you normally would have gotten in, like, a developer video.
I did appreciate that Ian Hatzikostas, game director for a while, he's able to take the booze. Because someone asked about how flying was going to work in Shadowlands, and he basically said it's going to work the same exact way as it has. Everyone booed. I think about 75% of the crowd booed.
And who was it behind us?
It was Garrett Weinstead and Patrick Beja.
Yeah.
And they disagreed on this, and it was kind of funny. And yeah, it's basically Blizzard being as middle of the road as they can on this, I think.
It was really funny.
While making it still something you have to work towards.
Yeah.
And not something you're just given.
And
especially with, they want to preserve that feeling of exploration in the expansion before you're just given free rein to fly wherever you want.
I just loved like the small banter back and forth behind us because what was it, Garrett that you said?
Yeah.
Garrett was like, oh, that's awful. And then Patrick Beja was like, you're wrong. And then we all went back to like, listening to the panel.
Yeah.
But Ian Hatzikostas, he definitely took it calmly and collectively like he's done. He's had a little bit of experience in that.
Mm-hmm.
There was some tension in the beginning. I think it was like the third question or
it
second.
It was kind of in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was
a guy had a guy answered asked his question and then
Tali asked and said, do you have anything else you want to say?
Yeah, and then he said the Hong Kong thing.
Free Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and cool, then, thanks.
Cool, and moved on. And the next guy started his question.
Oh, it was halfway through his question.
Probably about halfway through his question. And the poor guy was totally nervous. You could tell from the beginning. Yeah. And then a kid came up and started screaming or shouting, Free Hong Kong. He did it about four or five times maybe. And walked up to be in the frame of the shot. And Taliesin.
Oh, cool as a cucumber.
This is the best.
Professional AF. Yeah. Literally said, hold on, you got a question, mate. And he said, Free Hong Kong. And he says, cool, thanks.
Yeah.
And the kid was happy and the kid walked away. And Taliesin went back to the interview with the original question.
Yeah.
It was smooth and amazing.
And just for some more context for those that don't know, I think this is getting to be knowledge now. This is the same kid who did it at a Laker game earlier this year.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, a couple weeks ago, really. Where basically did the dance cam thing, threw his shirt up, and it was a Free Hong Kong shirt under
and
it.
And he was wearing a Free Hong Kong shirt, too. So they were giving those away.
It was the, one of the ones that they were giving away out front.
At the convention.
Yeah.
The Free Hong Kong people were
It said May stands with Hong Kong.
And so they were giving them out as free t-shirts if you wanted to wear them. So people were wearing them around the con. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved how it was so smoothly
It was very smoothly handled.
And I think I was frustrated because I felt so bad for the guy asking the question because he didn't sign up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And before the question was even asked, the boy was walking around to all of the Blizzard crew people. And I saw him asking.
That was like the beginning of the Q&A.
The very beginning.
Yeah.
And he was trying to ask, you know, can I go do something? And I thought they were going to let him do something because he's a cute little kid. I didn't know what he was doing. And but they kept telling him, no, you know, we have a very short amount of time. We got to get through the pre-selected questions. We don't, you know, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's structured is they're not telling you, no, you can't ask that question.
You already went through.
It's like they've already pre-screened their questions.
Day one was a time for submissions up in the Darkmoon Fair.
Yeah.
And so I felt bad because the kid still interjected himself. But in the same point, it ended okay.
Yeah.
Because he did get to say what he wanted to say. It didn't ruin the entire convention or the questions. But that poor guy, he was shook afterwards. Yeah. I felt so bad.
He got through his question, though.
Yeah.
I don't know which one it was, but the one I do want, I want to give a
shout out.
A little bit of shout out to for Ian Haskosis winning the crowd back was the short answer of will legendaries ever be transmoggable is yes. We just don't know when.
Oh, okay.
So they've always been like, you can't transmog your items into this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, why not?
There's a lot of really good Legion legendaries that look gorgeous.
I agree.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I really liked how some of the developers were joking about two of the questions about who won the battle.
Who actually won Battle for Azeroth?
And Alliance technically won. That's what they declared.
Lore-wise, going forward, they won the battle for Stormguard and the battle for Darkshore.
Yep.
So that's kind of where we're leaving things,
and
I guess.
And then we had a whole thing of, like, people screaming for the Horde, for the Alliance. Avital was even like, okay, guys, get it out now. And then the next question was a girl saying, when can we have our Horde or Alliance characters interact? And the developer's like, literally 2 seconds, they hate each other, opposite factions,
yeah.
And now they want to be friends. And it's like, it's totally true. It's a gamer in a nutshell.
Come on, I want to run Mythics with my friend, even if they're Horde.
But they're for the Horde, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was really fun and really exciting. After that, we were like, let's go play some Diablo 4.
Yeah.
So we did.
We did do that.
And that media badge.
We wouldn't be able to do half the stuff we did without a media badge.
It really saved so much time from everything. Because we had spent a lot of time uploading and editing stuff that we normally would not have had to do in a regular con.
Mm-hmm.
So we played Diablo 4. Your first take, I had to pull it out of you, was it was dark.
It was very dark and brooding. And the gameplay felt very fluid. I hate saying it like that because it's like it's one of those things you just have to experience yourself. And unfortunately, people won't be able to experience this for a couple of years. What I was really fascinated by was Heather and I were sitting next to each other. So I kind of looked at what she was doing versus me. And she went straight through the storyline.
Yep.
As soon as I got into the open world area, I started exploring. And that was a lot of fun to kind of just find random quests here and there. Kind of in Diablo 3, you find the event quests.
And you got the world boss.
And I got there was an alert that came out. It's like, hey, the world boss has spawned. Got up and ran in there. And killed the world boss, got a cool legendary, and that was basically it for my playtime, though.
I'm not jealous.
Yeah.
And then it's the same idea where in the trailer for me was, it's pretty gory. Like, I would find myself looking at the decomposed, bloody corpses of a human being underwater, and I'm like, that's so shiny and pretty. And they exploded so well, and my favorite part was also the textures. I'd spent a lot of time in the cave or what we started in, mm-hmm. looking at all the stonework and the urns and the skeletons and statues, and even just the textures of the characters' armor, gorgeous, like drool worthy. I want that to be a real thing I can touch. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah, back to some gameplay stuff. The fact that the named shamans are back that can raise the other shamans is absolutely terrifying, and that gives me nightmares already just thinking about it.
But the villains?
No, the shaman that can there's the named elites.
Okay.
And they can raise the other shamans who can raise the familiars.
Oh.
So it's like a never-ending circle until you kill that one.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun. Don't know that experience of trauma yet, apparently.
You didn't play Diablo 2, so.
I did not. Let's see. After that, we went and played some Hearthstone.
Yeah, Hearthstone. We decided, I mean, I had been kind of itching to play Battlegrounds. I talked to JR over at BlizzPro, and he's really excited about it. And he had actually talked to someone on the Hearthstone team, and I actually ended up talking to them and hearing the same thing at the party the other night. And it's the first time the Hearthstone team has, like, purposely set time aside to play the game, like during lunch or staying late after work.
And they were geeking out about it.
They were totally geeking out about it. And I'm excited to play it. And we only have 2 days till the till the closed beta. So I'm excited.
Are we in it?
We are in it. If you have a BlizzCon ticket, you're in it.
Oh, that's what they were saying. I wasn't paying attention because dragons.
Yep. But yeah, explain your experience. I'm really curious about what you thought, just because you haven't played this genre of game before.
Yeah, literally, we walked in, you're like, oh, it's auto chess. I'm like, oh, the thing you're obsessed with. You're like, yeah. And I was like, how do I play it? And I literally had maybe 10 seconds of understanding. You match cards, and you attack, and you take turns. And I said, there's 8 people? He's like, yeah, there's 8 people on the team. I said, cool. And that's all I knew. And about halfway through, I realized the pattern. But then I sold a card I wanted to keep because I didn't know what it did. So it was a little, and I talked to another person in line about this. It's a little challenging because there was no tutorial at all, or even like hint bubbles to explain what happens next. Because it take a long time.
From what I had heard, I don't know if it is true or not. I'm able to verify this, but apparently there was a tutorial before, but it took too long to get people through the line, so they took it out
because it's a long game with 8 people.
Yeah,
it took a long while, but it was fun. I liked it. Actually,
it's definitely shorter than Dota Underlords, thank goodness. So Dota Underlords can go pretty long.
Blizzard
but
is my favorite.
Yeah. The only other like complaint I had was I didn't really understand card costs.
Yep. And that was confusing.
But yeah, it was I went with like the fill the board with minion strategy.
The Murlocs.
Because I was Murlocs.
Yeah.
And one of the Murlocs' powers is that your minions on the board, every time they die, they spawn another Murloc. So it's a pretty fun mechanic. And I got out to an early lead, but I tried to switch my strategy about halfway through.
Yeah.
And I got fourth.
Yeah.
So. It was a lot of fun, though. I'm excited to check it out, and I'm glad it's coming very soon.
I'm excited to maybe dive back into Hearthstone because I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those games where I know it's a lot of fun, and it's a very easy pick-em-up-and-put-down type of game. But I couldn't keep up with the constant
all the expansions and stuff,
I even knew the expansions are fun. It was constant, like, having to get back into it. That was a little difficult. Let's see. We did Hearthstone. What did we do after that? Dinner. That was okay. And then after that, we split up, I think, for a little bit.
Yeah, I dropped you off at the
Blink
store.
Yeah.
That was one of our big complaints. So the Blink store was a pretty long line, like longer than the normal store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because I kept checking. I ordered the stuff day one for my brother. He asked me to get him some things. I said, sure, I'll buy it. Bought it online. The store kept kind of crashing every so often, but that was fine, to be expected. And then it never got less than 60 minutes. And yet the Blizzard store, if I were to walk up in line and buy this stuff right now, it was 30 minutes or to 45 minutes or so. So I'm like, why is it that the Blink store, which is a pre-order basically, taking so much longer than it is for an actual let me look through a menu and tell you what I want, like, ordering method? So that was a little discouraging. That's why I waited an entire day to actually do it. So at that point, like, you were standing there with me, and he's like, do you want me to stay? And I'm like, no, go have fun. I'll finish my audiobook. Yeah. I'll knit in line, and it'll be good. And so we split, and I got the stuff. It was fine. There was some issues, though. Like, some people were in line with me, and they actually got really upset. They ordered stuff on the Blink store, and then I guess apparently they had sold out of whatever the item was. And this girl was livid.
That's super frustrating.
Because she bought it like the day before.
Collectors can be rabid, by the way.
What?
Collectors can be pretty rabid.
I thought you said something completely different.
Nope.
But no, I don't even think she was a collector. It was more of just like, I wanted to buy this one thing and added to get the $100 bag. And yet they're sold out of it. And I didn't want the rest of this stuff, you know, to for it. And I'd be mad too. If I pre-ordered something, you should have it in stock. And not sell out, especially when it's one shop location. Like, it's not like you're dealing with a cross country order.
That and it's only 2 days.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little discouraging. I didn't have any true issues, luckily. But I also, we didn't buy a lot. I don't think we bought anything at the Blizzard store. We weren't really.
I didn't. No.
No. But then you did get merch in a different way.
I did.
I forget what time. I think that's when we played. That was during the Q&A.
Yeah.
You got gifted some Q&A, some Diablo 4 stuff.
Yeah.
So since we were there from the Diablo team, right? Is that who invited us? So yeah, they get to do some Q&A, some Diablo 4 stuff. We'll go over that in the hall. After that, I was in the store. You went into the Inclusion Nexus?
Yeah. It's a space they started last year. I think it was last year was the first time they did it.
Probably.
Kind of just an area to really amplify their diversity initiatives. I mean, they have a lot of groups within Blizzard now for a whole variety of affected people who might be underrepresented or have veterans, challenges. Women, yeah, veterans, women, LGBTQ. Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of really cool organizations. And sat and talk about accessibility in games.
Leveling Up Our Epic Entertainment by Nikki Crenshaw.
Yeah. And it was it was really cool to see. Because she's a UX, user experience designer at Blizzard. And so she talked about accessibility in games, and especially stuff related to subtitles and helping assist players that are hard of hearing or all that. ADA requirements, of course. And she was a part of, I guess they put up a page recently on the Blizzard website where if you are someone with certain needs, you can go there and be like, hey, you could do this better or this improve this, and their team sees that, and so they know where they can do better. But she did a study about subtitles in games and kind of comparing and contrasting having them be turned on by default or off. And the statistics were really interesting. These were not necessarily Blizzard games. They were Blizzard games just across the spectrum of the gaming industry. And she found out that if you have to turn them on, about 75% of players do touch that setting at one point or another.
For subtitles.
Yeah, for subtitles. But if you leave them on by default, they found the rate of people just leaving them on was like 95-97%, which is really cool.
I'm not going to turn on the subtitle.
Yeah.
I like to read.
No, I actually like it too. I actually turned it on Overwatch recently, and
that's smart.
It's very interesting because a lot of the heroes speak in their native language native language when they use their ultimates, and seeing that translated is kind of cool.
That would be neat.
Yeah. Met up with some friends there as well. So it was cool. Nice little space to relax a bit.
Yeah. It's in a small little room right between the Darkmoon Fair and most of the other halls. Mm-hmm. So it's in a nice little spot. After that, we met up again. And we decided to go play some Overwatch 2.
Yeah.
And it was so good.
It's really good. If you like the co-op missions that currently come up in some of the special events in Overwatch, you will definitely like Overwatch 2. And I think I do have to mention the communication of what is staying in Overwatch 1 versus Overwatch 2 is a little weird. So from my understanding, all the new heroes and maps for multiplayer will come to Overwatch 1 as well, but the co-op missions are Overwatch 2 exclusive, from what I understand.
Sure.
Yeah.
That'll be something we review when we watch all the virtual tickets.
Yeah.
But we played Overwatch 2, and we tried playing it earlier in the press room, but there weren't enough people to get a group of four, so we decided to play downstairs and see what it's like. And we played with two other people.
Yeah.
I played Lucio. You played Tracer.
Tracer, yeah.
And we had a mission to... Is it a spoiler to talk about what we did? We had to go kill some robots.
Yeah.
On their ship, their home ship. So we infiltrate their ship. And we go kill robots. And we died a few times.
We did.
It was hard.
And the one thing I did appreciate they did add in Overwatch 2, when you do die, you can actually kind of crawl towards your team. Yeah.
You're injured. You're not dead. Yeah. You're out for the count. So you're very slow.
When you're knocked down.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know other co-op shooters tend to do that. So it was kind of nice to see that level of addition there.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun because every time you, the whole team wiped out, basically, it would restart you at that checkpoint almost. Mm-hmm. And then you would have
to... It was kind of fun, though, because, of course, it's a limited demo. They have to limit the amount of time you play.
Yeah.
They had a countdown of how many more attempts you had.
Yes, that's so exactly what I was getting.
That was kind of fun.
You have four more tries.
Yeah.
You have three
so
more tries.
So it definitely got the tension rising.
And there were times where I'm like, we have to back up. We have to hide behind the barriers. And I'm kind of yelling at people and screaming when I'm stressed because I can't heal you fast enough.
Yeah. First time we wiped was me...
Yes.
Jumping forward a little too far.
You, completely. I'll always blame you.
Oh, it was.
So that was a lot of fun. And then it ended on a cliffhanger. And it was a good mm-hmm. cliffhanger. And it looks gorgeous. And I seriously felt like I was really good at playing Lucio. And I should play that at home more often. Or is it just Overwatch 2? I don't know. But it was fun. Let's see. And then after that, I think we split up again because it was closing ceremonies.
Yeah, it was closing ceremonies, and they finally announced the bands. I only knew the Glitch Mob, so I went there.
And I just skipped it all again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your thing. Yeah. That's what you do.
We did see the Lego mural completed.
Yes, Lego mural was completed.
And it was a big Overwatch 2. I think we got to post a picture of that, because it's gorgeous.
Yeah, we'll post a picture of that later.
And it's all like Tracer, Reinhardt. You did a piece of Reinhardt's shield.
Mm-hmm.
I did a piece of, I think, Tracer's arm or something. And then there's Lucio and May in it. So they're all kind of like in an action pose doing something. And it was just super fun to see. Let's see. I went and played Diablo 4 again while you were at your concert. So I had some nice EDM music in the background playing it. I played the Sorceress this time. Oh, we didn't say what we played the first time. I played the Druid the first time. You played the Sorceress.
I played the Sorceress, yeah.
And then the second time we played it at different times, I played the Sorceress, and then you played the Barbarian. So which of the two was your favorite?
I think the Barbarian was, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah. I like the Druid more, too. It felt like very boom. And it's one of those things, too, like the goriness of it, too. He turns into a bear form, and when he kills things, he has splotches of blood.
Yeah.
All over his fur. Yeah. And it's shiny, and I like shiny things, and it's red, and I like red. So it was like, oh, that's a pretty bear.
Yeah.
And just devoured things.
And I definitely noticed the Barbarian getting pretty bloodied up.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Diablo 4's direction.
Yeah, because then you played Diablo 4 after your concert.
Yep.
And then I went to bed, you went to socialize.
I went to socialize.
Yes. Yeah. We have a lot of friends that you haven't met and stuff in person. Mm-hmm. And I've met all my friends, and I was tired.
Yeah.
It was tiring.
Early.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say hi to people I only see once a year.
Yeah. And I kept waking up early and drinking coffee, and I was like, I am now tired because I woke up way too early. I should have slept in. Let's see. Day three.
Today.
We're at today. How long has this been? An hour and 27 minutes. It's all good. I woke up early, and there was no line at the Hilton Starbucks. Completely none. So I texted our friends, and I'm like, you guys want coffee? And I got four pumpkin cold brews and brought them up to you guys. Least I can do.
I was very happy about that.
Yeah. And the Hilton was pretty busy. Well, I would say it was pretty slow in the morning, and then around 9 o'clock or so, it started to get really busy, people leaving and packing.
Did you see the people kind of setting up their last-minute trades?
No.
Okay. Because I saw that. In the lobby, you know, kind of where the high tables are around the lobby area. Okay. But yeah, people were setting up their trades for that, which was kind of cool. It's always cool to see people's pin collection and all that stuff.
I did not get involved in that this year.
I know.
I can't handle the stress.
You're very, very smart.
Yes, I am. I'll go with that. Let's see.
And I guess the last thing I did was...
Well, we packed up.
Yeah, we packed up.
To leave.
Oh.
And then we couldn't leave because my car died. My battery died. So I had just got a dash cam. I left it plugged in over the 3-day weekend or the three days. And I guess it slowly drained the battery. So we were about to go to brunch for Diablo team, right?
Yeah, the Diablo community had a brunch for Diablo folks. And
it was we were going to go to that.
Yeah. It was at the Garden Walk, not too far from the Hilton.
We would just drive over and then we'd leave afterwards, and I had to wait for USA.
Yeah. And she told me to just go.
Yeah.
So I went and Food was fantastic.
Oh,
at least I was able to get you leftovers for that.
That was dinner. It was so good.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And talked with a bunch of the developers who worked on Diablo 4. And it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of really fun conversations. One of the senior devs posed a really fun question about what would you... if you had God powers, what would you, one thing you would change about Blizzard or BlizzCon itself? And so we kind of went around the table and talked about that. I said, I'm going to be selfish and bring Heroes Esports back. And they were like, yeah, that's a reasonable thing. Yeah. So that was that. But, then the conversation kind of turned into esports for Diablo and
Diablo 4.
Diablo 4, yeah. Just Diablo 4, or even Diablo Immortal, for that matter.
But it's a mobile game.
It doesn't. Mobile esports is a thing.
Is it really?
It really is.
Oh, Jesus, I'm old.
Yeah. We just watched a Pokemon Go thing.
You're right, we did.
Yeah, okay.
That's still weird.
Anyways, and we kind of were spitballing ideas, and, someone had mentioned like running dungeons the kind of the same. Is it like a speed run or something like that? And so I kind of threw the idea of maybe kind of mirroring what the WoW esports team does with Mythic Dungeon Invitational. And that they started taking notes. So maybe it's a possibility in the future. But it would be really cool to kind of see that at some point. And I didn't get to talk to everyone there until the end. I kind of introduced myself to everyone there, and one of the people there, which I didn't even think of this person being there, but Mr. Llama SC, if you follow Games Done Quick, he is like the quintessential Blizzard speedrunner, so it was really cool to see him. And I was like, I definitely geeked out a little bit, just because it's always cool to see Blizzard Games represented at that event, because I never think of Blizzard Games as like a speedrun game.
Yeah.
But he does it.
Yeah, and this game could definitely do it, especially with the openness of it and the freeform. And that's the fun thing with Diablo 4 is that it's very, or hopefully will be very open-ended.
And that's by design. And another one of the Diablo 4 devs was talking about how they intentionally made the demo like that so people could see how open it was. And the fact was, I went through that demo twice, and I felt like I didn't even come close to getting everything
in the demo. The first time I tried doing the quest line, and I only got to a certain point. The second time, I just wanted to explore the edges of the map, and I couldn't get to the edges in time. Like, there was like a few edges I got to, but I ran out of time.
Yeah.
I wasn't intentionally looking for anything. I didn't go into any caves. So it's very interesting to see a game be the highlight of the convention, but then to also know that it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
That's a little heartbreaking. But I think we kind of came to the agreement with a line that you said like earlier before the stream, that like BlizzCon's a nightmare if you're a fan of more than three games.
Yeah. It's really hard to see everything and kind of touch everything without some sort of special privileges.
To touch everything. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, really, I mean, we didn't even touch Diablo Immortal, and that we kind of wanted to.
I want to play it. No, yeah. I want it now. Like, I want
it. I was like, you can go play it.
No, I want it on my phone when I go home and sleep. So I'll like wake up at 2 a.m. and play it.
I mean, we played WoW briefly as well in the press area. That was okay. Fine. I mean,
it was an
experience. I'd just rather wait to play that when it's live.
Well, I think I wanted to look more at like the aesthetics of it. Like the little owl people were like, oh, they're so cute. I'm like, yeah, but I wanted to hear what they sounded like too. So when I kept picking them, they
unfortunately, a lot of that stuff isn't even in the game yet.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like,
ugh. That's definitely later development.
Yeah. Let's see. I think, and then we drove home.
Yeah.
Uneventful drive home and no real traffic issues. And we're here.
We are here.
Yeah. Now, I forgot a few things for the haul. So do we want to do like a quick pause really quick?
Yeah, that's going to be episode 4 of The Nexus with myself and Heather.
Yeah.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you get The newest episodes is always available on anchor.fm/the-nexus, and it's on all the major podcasting platforms, iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff. iTunes reviews always help us, so if you want to do that, that would be awesome. Yeah, check out my Twitter and YouTube for more BlizzCon coverage, youtube.com/DJTyrant.
And because we posted all our video stuff there.
All our video stuff there. So yeah, that is going to be it for the show. We will see you next week when we dive a little deeper into BlizzCon after we've kind of digested all the panels and stuff.
We're going to also see you in like about 30 seconds while I go run and grab something like that.
Yes,
so
but
don't leave.
Those of you watching live, don't leave.
Don't leave.
Those of you listening to the podcast, thanks for listening. We're going to be ending. But youtube.com/DJTyrant
to
see the loot haul.
Yeah.
And we'll see you.
Okay.
Bye.